You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Premier League is back. City are the favourites with Guardiola and co. Pogba back at Old Trafford, costing plenty of dough. Conte and Kante carry the hopes for the Blues. Wenger, sign a centre-half. We don't care who you choose. Liverpool are hoping Sadio Mane adds sparkle. Can Spurs Englishman get over that Euros debacle? The Foxes triumph last season at 5,000-1. Hello Olympic Stadium. West Ham's Upton Park is long gone. Ronald Koeman on Merseyside to turn the Toffees into winners. Will Claude Puel end up a saint or a sinner? As for Stoke, they'll want better from Shaqiri. Bournemouth have Howe. They should be safe, in theory. Palace have put their faith in Andros Townsend. Burnley are back with Sean Dyche, the gruff-voiced legend. Alvaro Negredo is Borough's big signing. Sunderland, you've got Moyes, accept it, no whining. West Brom like girls, it's Pulis defending again. Watford changing manager, it's not if, but when. The Swans need quality or could be marooned. I've got a feeling Hull are already doomed.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, Dave Callner, Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern, ready for the first weekend of the Premier League season. First of all, a warm welcome to the man that's coming to us live from Italy, Derek McGovern. Good morning, sir.
How are we doing, Dave? I just heard there what we just heard. It was living proof that rhyme doesn't pay. That was a very nice poem, that. Eat your heart out, Pam Ayres.
Good to have you with us, Derek. Tom Kerwin, good morning to you too, sir.
Dave, lovely poem. You've got me more excited than a car salesman when the owner of Leicester City walks in. brilliant. Fantastic. That's stirred the emotions ahead of the new season.
We've got a heck of a lot to get through this morning, chat. So let's get stuck in to the first round of Premier League fixtures. We start, as always, with the televised football, and Hull versus Leicester kicks us off 12:30 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. Hull are 3-1 to win the match. The draw 11-5 with Leicester in the betting at 19-20. Enhanced odds, Abel Hernandez to score and Hull to win, boosted to 7-1. And Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 9-4, enhanced to 3-1. Tom, Leicester have been strongly backed ahead of the first game of the season. It's quite easy to understand why. As we mentioned on the pre-season edition of the podcast, Hull are a team in total disarray at the moment. They've been hammered in the to-finish bottom market here with William Hill. And Leicester haven't conceded a goal in their last three meetings with Hull either.
No, I mean, I think when people are looking at their accumulators this weekend, I think Leicester are straight in there, aren't they? Hull City, as we've discussed already, in complete and utter disarray. 13 fit professionals, a couple of those are goalkeepers. They are looking at the moment for their starting lineup. It's going to be a bit scrambled, really. Jake Livermore, who is a central midfielder, is probably going to have to play at centre-back. El Mohammadi, who's been a key player for them in the Championship, bombing down the wing as a sort of wing-back, he's going to have to play as a full-back, and he can get badly exposed when his job primarily is to defend. Diamande as well, only made three starts last year. He's going to probably play up front, of course. They've lost players too. They've got injuries. They're in a complete mess. There are planned protests as well at the stadium this weekend. When you look at their home form, particularly in the Championship, it was very good. 13 clean sheets. They've done well, but they're playing against the Premier League champions here. And whatever you think about Leicester this season and where they're going to finish, be it top 10, top 6, or even if you still think they're going to be a top 4 side, this is a team that will be ruthless against the bottom half sides in the Premier League. And they proved it last year. They won 16 and drew 6 of their games against teams in the bottom half of the Premier League last season. And away from home, they were brilliant. So Hull City, tough start. And Leicester, I think it's the start they'll be absolutely licking their lips. And I think they'll set down a little marker ahead of all the other games.
Leicester 19-20 to win the match. One stat that jumped out at me from Opta, Derek. A newly promoted side hasn't won on the opening weekend of a Premier League campaign since August 2012, when West Ham beat Aston Villa by a 2-0. Leicester have been hammered in the market here, Derek. When the betting opened for this game last week, odds against Leicester City to win it. Now odds on at 19-20, Derek.
Well, yeah, I mean, they haven't been hammered enough because, I mean, that stat you mentioned, there's two important stats. There's that one, the fact that newly promoted side has won on the opening day for 4 years. And the other one is that no reigning champions of the Premier League has lost their opening fixture. I think it's in 23 seasons, 19 wins and 4 draws.
Yep.
So those two stats lead me to a third stat. My entire betting bank for the weekend is going to be made on this fixture because Leicester are absolute knocking bets. I just cannot see. Let's say if Man United had won the league last season, maybe something like 1-3 for this fixture, 4-11. Same with City, same with Chelsea. Yeah, people are still... I'm still not sure about Leicester, even though they won the title by, 10 points last season. It's a gift. It's an absolute gift. And if you miss out on this, you forfeit the right to be called a punter.
And just with the enhanced odds offer there, mentioned Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win. Enhanced to 3-1. Now, that's a big enhancement. No player scored the first goal in the game, more often than Jamie Vardy in the big five European leagues last season. He got 12. That was joint with Gonzalo Higuain, who was playing for Napoli at the time. That looks, Tom, to be an outstanding offer.
Well, it is, particularly when you look at the rest of the Leicester sort of attacking force. They're all there in support of Jamie Vardy, you know, except for Mahrez, of course, who's capable of something out of nothing, and you'd have to consider him at 11-5 any time. But I don't know where his head is at this sort of summer, really. There's still speculation about his future, whether he stays or he goes. I think it's going to have some effect on him. But you look at Ajoa, even Musa, who's looked impressive in pre-season, but Okazaki, whoever gets the nod, they're there to support Jamie Vardy. Mm-hmm. Throw into the fact what I said there about Hull's injury crisis, particularly at the back at centre-back. I don't know what state of mind the Hull players are going to be at. And I think defensively, if they're having to play Jake Livermore, who's played all his professional career as a central midfielder at centre-back, then Jamie Vardy's going to be licking his lips, isn't he, in the warm-up on Humberside. He's going to be thinking, well, I'm going to get chance after chance. You might even want to look at Vardy in the 2-or-more market as well.
It's like when, in the Sunday League team and the first game of the season, they can't raise a team because all the lads are still on holiday and some might look jolly up. That's what Hull are like.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Jamie Vardy to score 2-or-more, 15-2. Let's move on, chaps, to Man City versus Sunderland. This is the 5:30 televised game on Saturday. Manchester City 2-9 to win it. The draw 9-2 with Sunderland in the market at 12-1. Enhanced odds, Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 23-20, enhanced to 6-4. And Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 18-1, enhanced to 33-1. Shortest price on the Premier League coupon on the opening weekend, City. Easy to see why. I'm sure Pep Guardiola expects his players to have grasped his philosophy quickly. And they've won the last 4 Premier League meetings with Sunderland. And at the back end of last season, Derek, Sergio Aguero was the most in-form striker in the division, scored 17 in his last 18 Premier League appearances. And this is, as well, a fixture that he enjoys. He's got 3 in his last 3 against the Black Cats.
Yeah, I think 2-9 City says it all, really. Absolute certainty. I still can't wait why Sunderland or how Sunderland stayed up last season. They look aside that, that's just every time every time I approach this stage of a new season, I think, well, Sunderland are going to go down, just pick 2 more to go with it. And they are there fighting in the Premier League. Don't know how they do it. I don't think they'll do it this time around because I think David Moyes is the wrong appointment. Had a terrible spell at Man United, terrible spell at Real, sociopath. I don't think it's going to get any better at the stadium of life for him. He's a man his football is joyless, his teams are trophyless. And this weekend they'll finish pointless. You're not going to get rich back in City at 2-9. Better bet on the coupon this weekend, but certainly wouldn't put anybody off back in City to win without conceding. At least bring it into almost working man's territory.
Yeah, if you are looking at City to win to nil at 10-11, not a bad price if you fancy a City to win to nil, close to even money for this weekend's fixture against Sunderland. Weirdly, David Moyes has a good record at Manchester City going to the Etihad. He's won 5 times in the Premier League taking teams to Manchester City, and the only visiting manager with more wins at Manchester City is Arsene Wenger in the Premier League, which is a strange one, but he's got it on this weekend.
Yeah, he does. I mean, does that counterbalance the fact that Sunderland have never won at Manchester City in the Premier League? You know, they've lost 10 of their 12 trips and a couple of draws in there, so they don't have a good record. And what I would probably look at is last season. Okay, you've got 2 new managers, but Man City at home, they showed weaknesses, but they showed weaknesses against top 8 sides. The 5 games that they lost were all against teams in the top 8. And Sunderland although, of course, it was spirited and their running was great at the end and they managed to stay up, they went to City, lost 4-1 last year. They went to Spurs and Chelsea and lost 3-1. They went to Arsenal and lost 3-0, Manchester United, sorry, and 4-2 at Leicester. This is a team that regularly can see goals against the top sides, and I think they will again. I've got my eye here on the enhanced odds of a Sergio Aguero goal, a Man City win, either 2-0, 3-0 or 4-0. It's 7-2 from 3-1. I'm with Derek. I cannot see Sunderland scoring a goal. I don't think David Moyes is inspiring in any way for Sunderland, and I actually think he probably kind of took the job because he was running out of options, really, and I think he felt he had to get a Premier League job, you know, whatever club it was going to be. He's got a real tough challenge, but you know, you might look at Sunderland and think, look, they scored in 13 of their last 14 away games last season, but I think that was a different kind of Sunderland side, you know, under Sam Allardyce. And I can't see them scoring. I think Man City will get off to the perfect start. And you're looking at, you know, 2-0, 3-0 or 4-0, which is why I would go with that enhanced odds offer.
Yeah, I love that. 7-2, the enhanced odds offer here with William Hill. Sergio Aguero to score and City to win 2-0, 3-0 or 4-0. On to Sunday's televised games. We'll start with Bournemouth versus Manchester United at the Vitality Stadium. And this is a 1:30 kickoff. Bournemouth 18-5 to win it. The draw 5-2 with Manchester United in the betting at 8-11. Enhanced odds, Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win. It was 13-2. It's now 8-1. And Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Manchester United to win. It was 17-10. Enhanced to 5-2. I'm actually fascinated to see how Bournemouth get on here, Tom, because it is second season syndrome, and Eddie Howe undoubtedly caught a few managers out with his tactics last season. And let's not forget that when Roy Hodgson resigned, in inverted commas, Howe was being talked about as a possible contender for the national job.
Well, he was, but I don't know why he would go anywhere near the England job with what he's doing at Bournemouth. He may well do down the line, but, you know, I think he's been brilliant at Bournemouth, and every year they have progressed, every year they have improved while he's been in charge. I think they'll do the same this year. I mean, I've tipped them to be in for a top 10 finish this campaign, and I think their summer signings have been very, very smart. Lewis Cook from Leeds, Musset from France, Jordan Ibe, okay, they spent a lot of money on him, but he's going to bring pace and sort of an extra dynamic for them up front. So I think they've signed some really good players, Bournemouth. The one thing that is always noticeable in Bournemouth games is the amount of goals in their game. They are a side that go out. They're not cavalier. They're not a Kevin Keegan Newcastle side. Far from it. They're smarter than that. But they are a team that know and are confident whoever they're playing against, they can score 2 and 3 goals. But they did concede 34 goals last season at home, and we can't forget that, you know, some teams went down there and ended up being sort of rolled over. I remember watching Arsenal on the telly last year, and you know, they didn't even break sweat to beat them. And I think there's going to be goals in this game. That's where I'd be heading in this match. I think Manchester United will probably get the win, because I think Mourinho will be keen, obviously, to get off to a flying start. But I think although Manchester United will be functional and tough to beat this season, I think there's going to be goals in this game, because I think at the start, I think the Manchester United players will be keen to make an impression. There's a lot of attacking players on show from both sides, and there's a lot of players who will fancy their chances of scoring. So I'm going to be playing over 2.5 goals in this one, and probably a Manchester United win, because I certainly think at this stage of the season, Manchester United are nowhere near the finished article, and Bournemouth will fancy their chance of at least getting a goal.
Over 2.5 goals in the game is 11-10. Manchester United to win and over 2.5 goals is available at 2-1. And if you like Manchester United to win, but both teams to score in the match, that's 16-5 here with William Hill. Derek, I'm not sure about Tom's suggestion there that Kevin Keegan's not a smart man. Was that what you were saying, Tom?
Well, that's you know, very much from your perspective, David, turning what I've said there into a headline, I would suggest. You know, cavalier approach, I think, is how I described it.
Yeah. I loved watching that Kevin Keegan side.
Keegan's approach was always, well, if you score 4, we'll score 3. That was it. That's why he slipped up in the end. And yeah, you're right about goals. Both teams to score in this game looks like a knocking bet. It really does. And the one you mentioned there, both teams are scoring, United to win, they're over 3-1. That looks a fantastic bet. Now, the worry about backing United to win the game, even though I think they will, at 8-11, it just shows you what a bet Leicester are at almost even money.
Yeah.
To beat Hull. Leicester are better side than Man United, the statistics say. Hull are useless. Bournemouth are much better side, and yet you get a better price about Leicester. I think United will win. I think the signings Marino's made are being astute, principally Pogba, of course. Is he likely to start this game, or is he still?
It's uncertain at the moment, Derek. I looked at that this morning to see if Pogba was likely to start. No one's reporting whether he is or not, really. I suppose the dilemma with Pogba, we don't know in what position he's going to play if he does start this game.
Yeah, true. I mean, I think you can play him any position, though, and he'll still have a storm. I think odds on away from home on the first match of the season against the Sac, a bag full of gold. And I have made some good signings, as Tom said. It's dangerous territory, that. I'd got to go, if I'm going to have a loser, I've got to have a big price loser. So I'll back both teams to score and United to win at, 16-5, I think you said.
Yeah, 16-5, Manchester United to win and both teams to score in the game. On to Arsenal versus Liverpool, which is a 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Arsenal 6-5 to win the match. The draw 23-10 with Liverpool in the betting at 2-1. Enhanced odds, Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win was 14-5. Enhanced to 4-1. Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win was 9-2. It's been enhanced to 6-1. Derek, I've got a feeling this might be the highest scoring match this weekend. The lead up into the Premier League season, the narrative has all been about change, brilliant managers coming in, some incredible signings being made by the supposed title contenders. But for Arsenal, it's the same old story. At the dawn of a new season, and they're in the midst of an injury crisis already. They've barely got a fit centre-half. They're likely to rush Laurent Koscielny back into action before he's ready. Arsenal fans maybe not approaching this season with the same sort of optimism as some of the other top teams are.
Yeah, I saw a survey earlier this year that 25% of British people now class football as their favourite sport. But that survey was conducted at the Emirates, I think. Because if I was an Arsenal fan, I'd be so cheesed off. They're like going out with a good-looking girlfriend who won't put out. Not that I'd know anything about going out with a good-looking girlfriend, by the way, but plenty who won't put out. There's no reward. You look great, but there's no reward at the end of it. And I said in the pre-season podcast, I don't understand how the nutty professor it's his job, because you know exactly what you're going to end up with at the end of the season. Nothing. Maybe a place in the Champions League for no apparent reason. That said, 2-1 Liverpool is way short. You know, I thought it'd be a lot bigger than that. Liverpool could be great this season, but there's an equally good chance that they could be disappointing again. You know, they brought in a few new players. They've got a bed in. I'm not sure what to expect from Liverpool. I expect them to be in the top four, but it could all go pear-shaped for them. I don't see any value in the prices here, to be honest. This game finished 0-0 last season. It's unlikely to this around given Arsenal defensive problem, but I would go with the draw. I think it would probably be a result both sides would be, pretty happy with.
The draw's 23-10. You mentioned that 0-0 draw last season, Derek, but there have been 24 goals in the last six meetings between the pair. Liverpool have actually scored more goals than any other Premier League team in this calendar year. And their performance, Tom, against Barcelona at Wembley, albeit in a friendly, was scintillating. And it is intriguing. It's exciting to see how they're going to perform at the Emirates.
Very much so. I mean, I think they can be a scintillating side. But like Derek, I'm not sure what to expect from Liverpool this season. And I just wonder how Jurgen Klopp's approach is going to be to these so-called big games, because he will be desperate for a top four finish this season. It will be a minimum requirement, I would expect, and some silverware if possible. Therefore, you've got to manage these games. How often do we say at the end of the season that the games between the top four, the top six, have ended up actually deciding who gets in there? And I think it'll be a tight race as well, particularly for that third and fourth spot. So these kind of games, what does he do, Jurgen Klopp? Does he go out and stick to his principles and try and attack a weak Arsenal side that are going to be predictable? I mean, it's not hard for Jurgen Klopp, is it, to prepare for this Arsenal team, is it? I don't think he's thinking, well, what about this signing and how they're going to line up and what's the shape going to be?
Yeah.
He knows. It's so predictable what Arsenal are going to do. And Arsenal still have threats, but I'm not looking down. You know, I'm looking down the goalscorer markets for Arsenal. And although there are good players there, we know that, but, Giroud and Sanchez, goalscorers, none of them frighten me. You know, if I was a Liverpool player, I still wouldn't be thinking of them. I think what has happened at Arsenal over the last few years and their stagnation in the transfer market, their fear, the fear factor of Arsenal, if there ever was for certain teams, has just faded away. And I think Liverpool will go there and feel they can win the game. Liverpool will look at their team sheet and think we've got better players. I think there'll be goals in this one. There have been goals previously. All right, not in that 0-0. But I think because of Liverpool's approach will be to go and get the win, and I think that's what Jurgen Klopp will be going for, I think it's obviously going to have to force Arsenal out. And I think he'll be saying to his players, let's pile on a little bit of misery and the unrest that's there at the Emirates Stadium. So I'm going to go for a Liverpool win. I agree with Derek, a draw would probably suit both sides in this game. But I've got to take Liverpool because they're a little bit more unpredictable. They're capable of scoring goals. And Arsenal, I think they're feeling sorry for themselves.
I agree. 2-1 Liverpool to win the game for Tom. Derek going with the draw at 23-10. The last of the televised fixtures this weekend is Chelsea versus West Ham. Monday night, 8 p.m. kickoff. Chelsea 8-13 to win the game here with William Hill. The draw 13-5 with West Ham in the market at 9-2. Enhanced odds, Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 2-1, enhanced to 3-1. And Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win was 19-2. It's now 12-1. Just to put into a bit of context the quality of Antonio Conte and his management, in his last spell as a club manager at Juventus, they only lost one of their last 30 league games, winning 27 of them. But this is a different kettle of fish, moving from Serie A into the Premier League. And his modus operandi in the past has been to play with three central defenders. That's easy to do when you've got the personnel at your disposal, but Conte hasn't. He's without Kurt Zouma for this opening match, and it's likely that Gary Cahill, Tom, and John Terry will play as the axis in the defence.
I'm going to make a bold statement here, but Antonio Conte is not stupid. I think he, although he might have preferred ways of playing, Dave, he will always look at his team and look at his squad of players and pick the best system to suit those players. He has footballing principles, but they are to win. And anyone who saw him with Italy in the Euros and how he celebrated the victories that they had will know he is all about passion. He's about organisation and hard work. And I've already tipped Chelsea for the title this year. I think they're going to be an incredibly tough side to beat at home. As for West Ham, we talk about Bournemouth second season syndrome, but West Ham have a little bit of that, because they didn't come from nowhere, but they had such a great season last year. And they had, Payet was obviously sensational and Andy Carroll scoring goals in pre-season. I think they'll be a tough side, but I think they're going to have a disappointing campaign. I think they're expected to improve by their fans, but I don't think that move to the Olympic Stadium is going to help them out at all. I think it's going to make life more difficult for them. And although last year these two games, all right, West Ham beat them at Upton Park and got a late equaliser, I think, at Stamford Bridge. I'm not sure whether you can always be looking at Antonio Conte's side and thinking there'll be loads of goals, but I do think they win this one. And I think with West Ham and the firepower they've got, they're always capable of scoring against any side, namely because of free kicks. So I think Chelsea will win, and I think there's a good opportunity for both teams to score. But I'm going to go for Eden Hazard to score and a Chelsea win. It's 3-1 from 2-1 in the enhanced odds. Seeing Hazard, as I've watched him a few times in pre-season with Chelsea, he looks absolutely sensational. And I think he's going to be a big, big hit again this season. So that would be my tip for this one.
As we went through all the Premier League odds, the title odds on the podcast at the start of the season, I like Chelsea as well to win the title. But I think this is a difficult start for them, Derek. West Ham have brought in a couple of good signings. Sofiane Feghouli and Andre Ayew have serious pace. They'll have to cope with the physicality of Andy Carroll as well. I think this is quite a tough start for Chelsea, this one. And remember, West Ham went to the Emirates on the first day last season and beat Arsenal.
Yeah, I was listening back to the pre-season podcast, and you guys were really sweet on Chelsea's title chances, and I'm still struggling to work out why, because I don't see anything that they've got this season that's going to make it turn them from 12th into title winners. Apart from the manager, you must be really keen on him, and he was great at the Euros, I have to say. But looking at that Chelsea personnel, that Chelsea squad, I don't see title winners in it at all. And I think at 8-13, you're taking a chance in backing them this weekend to beat a tidy West Ham side who've got an equally tidy manager. As I say, West Ham have done really well on the road at big clubs in the last season or so. And I think at 9-2, there's something to bet on. I think Chelsea could take time to get into their stride under the new manager. Take time for the new manager's approach, to sink in with the players. And I like the look of West Ham here. I've got a sneaking fancy for them.
9-2 West Ham for Derek in that Monday night match. Let's move on to the non-televised fixtures this weekend, all Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs, and we'll start with Burnley versus Swansea. Burnley 29-20, the draw 21-10 with Swansea in the betting at 15-8. Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 13-5, enhanced to 3-1, and Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 4-1, enhanced to 6-1. Is this a six-pointer yet, Derek? Because neither side have spent much in the transfer window. As Tom mentioned in that pre-season podcast, Burnley have picked up a couple of Charlton players and John Flanagan, and Swansea need to hope that Fernando Llorente hits the ground running here.
Well, yeah, and I don't think he's going to be the kind of player that's going to come into the Premier League and set it alight. The only thing you ever remember from him is coming on in the 78th minute to Spain when they were Spain in the lead. He seemed to do that every international and never did anything. I think Swansea might struggle this season, to be honest. And I like the look of Burnley. I think they'll do okay. I think they'll certainly do the best of the three promoted sides. And keeping the manager after being relegated the season so ago, it's worked out for them, hasn't it? Because they were the shining gem of the Championship last season. I've just got a sneaking fancy they'll hit a good run of form early on, Burnley, before maybe tiring. And I'm all over them for this fixture. I think it's a tidy 3 points for them.
29-20 Burnley for Derek. Burnley will be hoping, Tom, that they fare better at the start of this Premier League season than they did last time they were in the top flight, because they didn't win a game until November the 8th, which was the 11th match of the campaign back in 2014-2015. They do have a recognised goal scorer in Andre Gray, who was last season's top scorer in the Championship, got 25 goals last term, Tom.
Yeah, and Sam Vokes along with him, Dave, is a very, very useful player, as he proved in the Euros as well for Wales. So I think their front two are all right. I do think with Andre Gray, he needs chances. You know, he needs three or four to tuck one away. You cannot do that in the Premier League. You know, if he gets an opportunity, he's got to score. I'm with Derek here. I think Burnley are a good bet at home. You know, 2 years ago, they kicked off on a night game against Chelsea. They went in front, similar to that Robbie Blake volley Scott Arfield scored, and then Chelsea just absolutely demolished them. And I don't think they ever really recovered from that. That was a real bang. Welcome back to the Premier League. And they struggled after that game. But I think this is almost the perfect fixture for Sean Dyche. I think when the fixtures came out, he'll have been licking his lips at this, particularly with what's gone on at Swansea over the last week. They've lost two of the most important players. And in particular, Ashley Williams is a huge, huge blow to them. You go up to Turf Moor, weather's not the best this August. I think you'd need someone like him if you're going to go and get a result. So they've lost key players at the back and up top. And I think the feeling in the Swansea dressing room will be, well, what are we doing? You know, where's our sort of targets this season? I think they've lost their way a little bit. They've lost their focus. And I think Burnley will definitely be targeting this. You've got to remember as well, Burnley unbeaten in 23 league games. That goes down back to Boxing Day. Albeit in the Championship, doesn't matter to me. They're a team that are not used to losing games. And what they did brilliantly last year in the Championship, they didn't play well for about a six-week spell in the sort of run-in, but they won the majority of games. And they drew games it looked like they were going to lose, and they won games they looked like they were going to draw. And I think that's Sean Dyche's ability. I think they're going to struggle overall this season, but I think this is a game they will definitely target to win. And I think Burnley are a good bet at home.
Next up, Crystal Palace versus West Brom. Crystal Palace 21-20. The draw 11-5 with West Brom 13-5. Enhanced odds, Andros Townsend to score and Palace to win was 18-5. Enhanced to 5-1, and Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win was 6-1. It's now 8-1. Tom, Crystal Palace clearly chasing cup glory at the end of last season, and because of that, their Premier League form, or I think it was because of that, dropped off a cliff. And from the turn of the year, they only picked up 11 points. And the news that Yannick Bolasie is going to leave to go to Everton, that will hurt. That will sting Crystal Palace.
It will, but I think it's probably a good deal for Palace in terms of the fee they're going to get for Bolasie. And although he has been one of their best performers the last few years, I still think that the signing of Townsend, I know people are critical of him, but I still think with Jason Punchin as well, who pops up with some key goals last year, I don't think Alan Pardew's going to be too worried, because I think that money is going to pay for a striker, or he's certainly going to hope it's going to pay for a big striker, because that is Palace's problem this season. They've got two real out-and-out strikers, Fraser Campbell and Connor Wickham. And bless them, neither of them are going to score 20 goals either this season. So he needs somebody up there. My gut instinct when I look at this fixture is draw, 11-5. You think Tony Pulis. I mean, they've only signed Matty Phillips from QPR, so they haven't set the world alight in the transfer market. But my gut feeling here is a draw. Palace, slow start. West Brom, you know, their defensive resilience. But Palace last year started the season well. I think they won three of their first four games. And I just think they've got a little bit more in the final third. Because I talk about Palace's lack of strikers. Doesn't get much better for West Brom, does it? An unhappy Berahino, Solomon Rondon and Ricky Lambert. I mean, again, you're not looking at a lot of firepower and great strikers on show. But I think the supporting cast for Palace is better than West Brom. And so I think Palace might just sneak this. Having thought about it a little bit, I think Palace might get a narrow victory.
Yeah, Crystal Palace 21-20 to win the game. You look at that West Brom team, Derek, and it is just a carbon copy of last season, really. Likely to go with Salomon Rondon up front on his own. They've not strengthened at all, West Brom, and it's easy to understand why Tony Pulis is the favourite to be the first manager to leave his position, and West Brom have been back to be relegated.
It's a pretty joyless experience, you know, West Brom. And he's a player for West Brom too under Pulis. His number one priority when he goes away from home in the Premier League is to get a clean sheet. That's what he'll do against Palace. And I think he's got a good chance of doing it because Palace don't look full of goals. Can't believe that they're letting Balassi go. Palace are Balassi in my eyes. They're always a team I want to back away from home at big prices because of him, because of his threat on the break. At home, I'll always oppose him at short prices. But I'm not opposing with West Brom because they just don't score enough goals. To me, this screams a draw. Probably a 0-0 draw.
0-0 in the betting at 13-2 here with William Hill. Everton next. Everton taking on Tottenham. Everton 15-8 to win the game. The draw 11-5 with Tottenham in the betting at 11-8. The enhanced odds, Ross Barkley to score and Everton to win, was 11-2, enhanced to 7-1. And Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win was 13-5, boosted to 3-1. Really looking forward to this match, Derek. It's unquestionable that, in my mind anyway, that Everton were mismanaged by Roberto Martinez last season. So Ronald Koeman stepping in has to be a major positive in the long term. And I'm also looking forward to seeing how that core of Spurs English players get over that summer disappointment. I can't wait for this game. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. It's a mouth-watering prospect. Probably the match of the weekend rather than the Arsenal Liverpool one. Evans are looking as though they're making some good signings. Ashley Williams from Swansea looks though. Yannick Bolasie is about to join them. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do under Ronald Koeman this season. That said, fancy Spurs here. I don't think the summer disappointment is going to affect the Tottenham's England players because I don't think English players anymore care about what happens with England. All that matters is the Premier League. And to be honest, if I was them, I'd be feeling exactly the same way. I think they're a great side, Tottenham. I think he's made some good signings as well. Mauricio Pochettino in Wanyama and Janssen from who scored a bag full of goals in Holland last season. I think they're going to go from strength to strength, and I expect them to win this game. 11-8, not giving loads away. I expect them to be at least 6-4, maybe even a 13-8. But I'm still going to go with them.
Okay, Tottenham 11-8 for Derek. There is some serious talent on show here, Tom, and I'm hoping I can resurrect my Gerard Deulofeu man crush that started the season well, but his form tailed off and he didn't get a look in some of the latter games under Roberto Martinez. But he looks like he might be given hopefully a free role under Ronald Koeman. I think he's going to be a terrific player.
Yeah, well, you know, Barcelona don't let go many good players, do they?
That's
so,
a fair point.
You know, that's probably why he's at Everton. I mean, I think I agree with Derek. I think this is one of the fixtures of the week, and I'm a bit surprised it hasn't been picked for TV. But I think Southampton fans are probably watching this with tears in their eyes, wouldn't they, on Saturday afternoon? Because, you know, two of their former managers who've moved on in their minds to bigger and better things. And I'm fascinated to see how this goes from a sort of tactical point of view, because I think it's two of the most promising managers in the Premier League. But I think Koeman's got a longer job at Everton to pick up the pieces of the Martinez reign, to make them into a harder team to beat is going to take some time. And actually, if, you know, Besic is injured, Ashley Williams they won't have. I think there's still a weakness of that Hart defence, and obviously John Stones has gone too. So while going forward, they still have one of the best strikers in the Premier League in Lukaku, you know, and Aaron Lennon did well at times last season, but he's got to get more out of players like Kevin Morales, who at one time a few years ago looked like a world beater and was going to head to an even bigger club. Ross Barkley, he's been disappointing for 8-9 months now. So if he can get more out of those players around Lukaku, then Everton have got a chance this season, but I don't fancy them in this game. Tottenham's defensive resilience was superb last year. And I think the signings, Wanyama in particular, is a very, very good one for them in front of that back four. So, you know, I think Tottenham are the value here. And I think Harry Kane, Jamie Vardy, Sergio Aguero, we're looking at the usual suspects this year. I think they're all going to have great years in front of goal. So I think the enhanced odds offer of Harry Kane goal and the Tottenham win at 3-1 looks brilliant.
Penultimate match this weekend, Middlesbrough versus Stoke. Middlesbrough 13-10, the draw 21-10. Stoke in the betting at 21-10. Enhanced odds, Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 3-1, enhanced to 4-1. And Jordan Shaqiri to score and Stoke City to win was 15-2, enhanced to 10-1. Of the newly promoted sides, Tom, Middlesbrough are expected to fare the best. But they've got a bit of a nutcase as manager with Aitor Karanka at the helm. And I can see that relationship with Steve Gibson, who is noted as a tolerable chairman, becoming strained throughout the season. At least they have strengthened, though. They're one of the promoted sides that have brought in new recruits.
That's why they are fancied the best out of the three teams that have come up. I mean, Hull are obvious, but you know, Burnley, we can't forget, you know, won the league, and were a better team than Middlesbrough last season, but they haven't strengthened it. But the one thing that Steve Gibson's done is not only does he always back his managers in terms of time and money, but, you know, I look at some of the signings that Middlesbrough have made. For example, Martin Deroon from Atalanta, a mid-table Serie A side, you know, a winger who is, reportedly a good player, but he's not gone and signed box office names, has he, which will maybe get bums on seats at the Riverside. Negredo is probably the exception to that, and there is a lot of onus on him to get up and running early doors. I think that Mark Hughes is a very, very clever manager. I was looking at his sort of record in the Premier League. It's pretty remarkable. All eight of the first full seasons he's had, or the full term Premier League seasons he's had as a manager, he's always got his sides inside the top 10. So he's never finished outside the top 10. And I think Stoke will be targeting that once again. I think they're capable of doing it. I know they've got a few injuries as well, but I think Middlesbrough, I think there'll be some nerves on the first home game. And what happened quite dramatically with Middlesbrough last year is they were very resilient defensively at home. And then once the running came and they wobbled a little bit, they started conceding goals. Stoke scored a lot of goals in their final six away games last season, 8 in total. They have a lot of individual goal scorers in their side. So I think both teams to score here is an absolute must, given the fact that I think Borough defensively are going to struggle a little bit this year. But I'm unsure whether Stoke have got enough to get over the line. So I think we might be looking at a draw and both teams to score here at the Riverside.
Draw and both teams to score 16-5 here with William Hill. You mentioned in that pre-season podcast, Derek, if you've not checked that out, by the way, it's available at audioboom.com, listeners. You said that you thought Stoke may be an outside chance to sneak into the top six, Derek. And you look at the quality in that starting 11. Gianelli and Mbula, who looked really good at the end of last season, protecting the back four. And that front four, Jordan Shaqiri, Bojan, Marko Arnautovic and Mama Biram Diouf. They're a match for a lot of Premier League defences.
Yeah, they're match winners, all of them, aren't they? And they've also added Joe Allen as well. You know, and he's a tidy Premier League player, done it at the top level. I think they're I can't believe Middlesbrough are favourites in this game. Really can't. It's the worst bet of all time. You know, the wobbles they had last season suggests to me that something's not quite right at the club. Limped over the line. You know, they could easily still be in the Championship this season. And Stoke are just going from strength to strength under Mark Hughes. He's bringing in marquee names, top quality names, but names that you'd want to go and watch, pay money to watch. And I think they are definitely a side to watch this year, Stoke, and I'm convinced they'll win this one.
Big price, 21-10 Stoke to win at the Riverside on Saturday afternoon. And we finish with Southampton versus Watford. Southampton 8-11 to win the game. The draw 5-2, Watford in the betting at 18-5, enhanced odds, Shane Long to score and Southampton to win was 19-10, now 3-1. And Odion Ighalo to score and Watford to win was 13-2, now 8-1. Odion Ighalo, Derek, has started last season like a house on fire, but his performance has tailed off considerably in the second half of the season. Only scored 2 goals in his last 18 Premier League appearances for Watford. They need him and Deeney to fire, because that's what kept them up last season.
It was sensational up to Christmas, and after that, when the FA Cup began, they seemed to put all their eggs in that basket. So maybe there was deeper lying reasons for their collapse, I don't know. But Southampton now sent 8-11. I said this all season long, that they've been overrated by your odds compilers, and they are again. You know, and they've lost 3. Their 2 main goal scorers last season have gone. They've lost Wanyama as well. I just don't see why they're 8-11. I'm going to give Watford another go here. They started the season really well last season, you know. So, and they've got the same personnel there, 1 or 2 to it. No reason why they should go to Southampton and be frightened. I think they're a decent bet here at these odds. So I'm just going to give them another chance.
18-5 Watford. Derek made mention there, Tom, of players leaving Southampton, but that's always the way with Southampton. They try and bring in recruits, lesser known recruits, and then sell them on for bigger fees. And it's worked for Southampton, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's worked because, you know, they've had good managers there as well, who have made the best. They've sort of reinvented the team quite a few times, but I don't know whether this year might be a year too far for them. I mean, I don't think there'll be any kind of relegation problems or anything like that, but I think they're going to struggle. Especially in sort of imposing themselves right from the word go. I think they're a team that have, again, lost their way a little bit. It's very difficult when you lose key players like Wanyama, Pella and Mane. I mean, they're 3 of their absolute key players from last year. I know Pella didn't exactly have a great season, but they're difficult players to sort of replace in terms of how you're going to play. So I'm interested to see how Southampton are going to approach it. I'm also interested in Watford. I mean, I think this is a game between 2 teams coming into this season with quite a lot of uncertainty. I don't think they're either set of fans are particularly confident about this season. I don't think they're worried either, but I think they're going into a game where we're not really sure what to expect. But Watford have those constants up front, don't they? Ighalo and Deeney. Deeney's an out-and-out leader. He's a bulldozer up front, and I think he's going to cause a problem for teams once again this season. And Walter Mazzarri, you know, he favours 3-5-2. He drew so many games at Inter Milan. That's where, you know, he had so much criticism for his defensive approach. And Watford haven't lost on the opening day for 9 years. So I think he will go there and look for the draw. And I think they're good enough to get it. I think this game screams a draw at 5-2.
Draw 5-2 for Tom. We've been through the 10 fixtures then, chaps, on the opening weekend of the Premier League season. Now we just need your best bets. Derek, as reigning champion, lead us off. What's your best bet this weekend?
I'm going to go for Tottenham to win at Everton. I think Everton might just take a little longer, given to hit the ground running. And I just like the look of Tottenham. I'm going to be. I've got a sneaking fancy. I'll make a few bob back in Tottenham this season.
11-8 Tottenham for Derek. Tom?
I've got to go for Leicester, Dave. Plain and simple, they win the game against a horrible Hull side, really, a team with absolutely nothing about them going into this season. As I said, it's probably the worst team in terms of preparation and club that I've seen come into a Premier League season for a long, long time. So I think Leicester, reigning champions at Hull, are a dead cert.
I'm going with over 3.5 goals in the game between Arsenal and Liverpool. I just think both defences very unsettled, some serious attacking talent on show, and I think there'll be goals in that game. So over 3.5 goals in the game between Arsenal and Liverpool, 9-4. And that treble, Tottenham for Derek at 11-8, Leicester for Tom at 19-20, over 3.5 goals in the game between Arsenal and Liverpool at 9-4 for me, 14.05-1, that treble. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure, Dave. Good to see you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much, Dave. Good stuff.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Check us out on Twitter as well, at Will Hill Bet. And we'll be back to preview next weekend's fixtures on Friday. Speak soon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.